Today we're going to do something we do about maybe once or twice a year. And we're going to look at just some things about the King James Bible. Things about the King James Bible. And let's see, we'll turn to let me see here. Just come another verse in my mind I want to look at. Well, let's see. I don't remember where it's at even. The words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. What verse is that? 12, 6, and 7. You're right. I don't know why I was thinking 9. I've had so many Bible verses in my head this morning. That's it. Psalm 12, 6, and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So Psalm 12, 6, and 7. And then we're going to look at some things about the Bible today. And thankfully, men have stuck with the truth over the years. A lot of people have left it, but a lot of men have stuck with it and passed down some a love for and a faith in and a trust in the words of God. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. What I want to look at, my job as a pastor is not just to tell you things out of the Bible. My job as a pastor is to encourage you to read your Bible. And part of being encouraged to read your Bible is you should be excited about it. When you find out what's in it, I mean, the most important thing in it is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you're going to find out when you read that book, it's like no other book. So thankfully, by the grace of God, I've had men over the years that I've listened to and sat under and that showed me some things out of the Bible that just amazed me, that got me to realize that's not just a book. And, you know, I got on a list of people that went home to be the Lord before I was even born. You know, you got like Billy Sunday, and then you got older more recent preachers like Jack Hiles, John R. Rice, Peter Ruckman, Lester Roloff, all these guys that I've listened to, all these men of God that I've listened to, God's men that I've listened to over the years, I've got something from every one of them. And I don't agree with all of them on everything they believe. Matter of fact, I don't agree with any of them on everything they believe. But I probably the one that had the most influence on me in studying the Bible is Peter Ruckman. And like I say, I don't agree with him 100% either. He didn't agree with him 100%. Sometimes he changed some things. Amen. Because we don't know, none of us are 100% on everything. Or anything, really. But man, I'll tell you that to pass down a love for the Bible and an understanding that it's a supernatural book. It's not just paper and ink. It's a supernatural book. You can throw the paper and ink away. You can burn the paper and ink. You can scribble on the paper and ink. But you can't get rid of the Word of God. And there's something supernatural that we need to understand. And I'll show you a few things today that I've learned. And first of all, that verse, those two verses right there, God's going to keep his word forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This place, you can donate to save the blue-footed booby and save the whale and hug a tree and everything you want to do. This earth will pass away. You can go paper and not plastic, and you can recycle everything you own and, you know, whatever. You can cut your grass with fingernail clippers just to save the earth if you want to. That's fine. You know, praise the Lord. I question your mental stability, but, you know, it's your lawn, your clippers, your time, whatever. You can do whatever you want to do to try to save this earth. But I'm telling you, this earth is going to be gone. Heavens and earth shall pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. But that book is not going to pass away. That God's words are not going to pass away. He's never let them pass away. And they won't. And again, I like this verse. These verses we'll read again. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And I'm going to look at some things, talk about Bible numerics. We do this every once in a while, talk about Bible numerics. And the number 7 is the number of completion and perfection. Just call it completion. 8's new beginnings. We're not going to get deep into a number study today. And 9 is fruitfulness. How long is a child carried generally? 9 months. Fruitfulness. There's a lot in the Bible that talks about Israel and talks about Israel compared to a woman in travail giving birth. And God's not through with Israel, by the way. Get that out of your system. Don't listen to them people on inner tube. Whatever. YouTube, internet, whatever, the inner tube. You might as well listen to an inner tube. They're full of hot air, right? They're full of air. But fruitfulness. So it's interesting the way God works this out. Fruitfulness is number 9. Holy Bible, 9 letters. King James, 9 letters. AV 1611, that adds to 9. 16 plus 9. You can't make this stuff up. You just couldn't make this stuff up. So, God's book. If you want to be fruitful, read God's book. That's what it's all about. Another interesting thing is Psalm 119 is in the middle of your Bible, and it's about the whole Psalm 119 is about God's word. His statutes, his precepts, his testimonies, his commandments. It goes on and on and on about God's word. And the whole thing is about God's word. And just about every single verse in there mentions his word one way or the other, whether it's calling it a commandment or a testimony or a statute or what have you. Interesting thing is if you take 16 times 11, it equals 119. Isn't that something? I mean, you just can't get around this book. You can't get around what God's done here. You can't blame it on, oh, man just wrote that book. Well, man's not smart enough to just write that book. God's hand's all over this book. Now, remember, Jesus Christ became sin for us. He didn't just take our sin on him. He became sin for us. So when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, it was the sin of the world that hung there. He became sin for us. God doesn't mess with his words. When he says something, that's what he means. He says Jesus became sin for us. So it was sin that perished on that cross. It's over. If you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about your sin. Except for the judgment seat of Christ, you don't want to be on the wrong side of God in this life after salvation because you want to be able to lay something back at his feet. But an interesting, if you look at Galatians chapter 3, turn there if you would, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus became a curse for us, right? He became sin for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, I happen to believe that the Bible verse markings are in there by God's inspiration. You don't have to believe that if you don't want, but I mean, I've just seen so many things in here, I can't believe anything otherwise. And I've heard people make fun of it and all that, but look where we are. 3:13, Galatians 3:13, talking about the curse. How many times is curse mentioned in that verse? 3 times. Jesus Christ became cursed for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. There's curse 3 times in that verse, and it's 3:13. 13 is the number of rebellion. 13 is the number connected with sin. So he became sin for us. I don't know about you, but that's pretty neat. Amen. That's it's amazing how that book evolved that way. crazy stuff. That's amazing what God's done in this book. And how many books are in our Bible? 66. 6 plus 6 equals 12. 12 is the number of the Jews. The oracles of God were given to the Jews. Man's not smart enough to do all this. Man could have maybe done one of these intentionally. Man's not smart enough. I am a man. I know we're not smart enough to do that, amen? And the women said amen. The men aren't smart enough to do that, amen? And that's why God said you need help. Get you something out of a rib here that can help you. Because you men aren't smart enough. 6 plus 6 is 12. 12 is the number of the Jews. Okay? How many books are in the Old Testament? 39. 3 plus 9 is 12. Number of the Jew. How many books are in the New Testament? 27. 2 plus 7 equals 9. That's the number of fruitfulness. What's that? Where are we at? 39 books of the Old Testament. 3 plus 9 is 12, and 12 is the number of the Jew. And the Jew. Write the Jews beside it? Uh-huh. 2 plus 9? Or 2 plus 7? That's fruitfulness. So, you can see that there's a lot of coincidences, huh? A lot of things God did to show you. And I don't want to get caught up in Bible numerics and say that get so far into it that we worship the numerics of the Bible, but he's done some things in there so you can look at that book and realize this is a supernatural book. 6 plus 6 is 12. 66 books of the whole Bible. The oracles were given to the Jews. 12 is the number of the Jews. The Old Testament's all about God and his people, his chosen people. And 3 plus 9 is 12. 39 books of the Old Testament. 12 is the number of the Jews. And Jesus Christ, the fruitful one, is the whole New Testament's about salvation through his blood. Now, I understand the whole Bible's about Jesus Christ, but look where it changes after the death of the testator. It's all about salvation in his blood, and it's fruitful. Except a kernel of wheat die, it cannot produce fruit. Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and his death of his broken body produces fruit. So 2 plus 7, 27 books of the New Testament, 9 in fruitful. Just an amazing amount of things in that Bible that you just can't attribute to accident. You just can't say, well, that was an amazing accident. We could spend hours doing this. Matter of fact, we have spent quite a bit of time before, probably a year ago or something, going over this. But it's just amazing stuff. Genesis 5, 5 is the number of death and grace. Genesis 5 is the first list of deaths in the Bible. And if you start studying that out, and Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, five letters, his death was grace for us. There's just so many things about Bible numerics. You can go on down the line with numerics, but just looking at the Bible, looking at things that God did, you know, say, well, I like the NIV. Well, add it together and see what you got. Throw it in the trash, get your real Bible, and this stuff will work out. Amen. But it's just amazing how he does it. Another thing about King James is the English word for Jacob. Jacob is Israel. Ecclesiastes, I believe it's Ecclesiastes 8:8, says where the word of the king is, there's power. Amen. So why won't you worship King James? No, I don't. I just think God used him like he used Paul, like he used Peter, like he used John. Like he used David, like he used Saul, like he used Joseph, like he used everybody in the Bible. He used King James. I believe that. There's so many things about this Bible that's amazing. Matter of fact, we've talked about this before. I don't know if you all were here when we said it. I said it a couple times in the last 3 or 4 months. But the only English Bible that you will find on the face of this earth that says 2 Timothy 2:15, and it tells you to study, is the King James Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not going to find it in the NIV or an RSV or a RESB, CT, or any of that junk. You're not going to find it. You're going to find it in that book. The devil don't want you to study the Bible. Because if you study the Bible, you begin to know who you are. Amen. You begin to know the wiles of the devil, and you begin to get a better picture of Jesus Christ. He don't want you to have a picture of Jesus Christ. He wants you to have a picture of Him. That's why I believe He gives you a false Christ all over the place. There are false Christs everywhere. I believe that probably the majority of the churches meeting today in 2023 are worshiping a false Christ. I believe a lot of people out there that say they're saved and born again are lost and they're worshiping a false Christ. So why do you believe that? Because I talk to them. I ask them if they're going to heaven, and they hope so. And or they tell me they're saved, and I say, well, how'd you get saved? And they tell me when they got baptized. Or they tell me they belong to three different churches. And they'll tell me all these stories about things they've done and they try to do to be good person, to be good people, good person, be good people. But they never get around to saying, hey, I realized I was a sinner and I called on Jesus Christ, trusting in my Lord and Savior. And if you don't trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you don't call on Him and say, Lord, forgive me and save me, you're not saved. You don't get saved by getting dunked in water. You don't get saved by becoming a Baptist. Good night, man. Becoming a Baptist puts you in double hell, amen. You got to get saved, amen. And then you get... I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist. The old preacher says I'm Baptist because I'm saved. Amen. That whole thing about the water, you know, the Church of Christ, they believe they got a donkey in their water, and you know, I don't understand all this. You got a Bible that tells you what the gospel is. That's another thing. Most people can't tell you what the gospel is. Ask them, what's the gospel? I'll go out on a limb here and say over 40% of the preachers can't tell you what the gospel is. Because I've heard them say, well, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or it's the good news that Jesus died for sinners. Well, what is the gospel according to the Bible? 1 Corinthians 15 says it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's paraphrased. But Jesus died according to Scriptures, buried, and rose again according to Scriptures. That's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you got people out there that don't believe Jesus Christ is God. They go in there and they try to worship Jesus Christ, but they don't, and God the Father, but they say Jesus Christ isn't God. Then you say, well, look at Acts 20:28. It says the church of God purchased with His own blood. And they go, well, yeah, but that don't really mean that. That means that, you know, okay, well, how about just reading it, see what it says, and taking it for what it says. And it says it's God's blood, because only God's blood can pay your sin debt. If Jesus Christ was just a man, then we can't go to heaven. If Jesus Christ was just a man, you need to tell the Old Testament saints that rose when He rose after the crucifixion. Because they didn't realize that. Because when He went in the ground, some of them Old Testament saints come out with it. So, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. And the devil says, no, He isn't. You know why the devil wants? Because he's a false Christ, and he wants to be God. He wants to be God.